Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Let me ask you, what does this church, this gathering, the people who come here on a regular basis, what is it that they believe? I would like for you now to actually answer me. This is not rhetorical. Many times it's rhetorical, but I'd like you to tell me, what are some things that we believe? I couldn't hear you. Tell me. Divine healing. We believe in divine healing, that Jesus still heals people today, not just when he walked the earth in a body. Yes. So, we believe in the scriptures. Is there a little phrase that goes with that? That the scriptures are all inspired by God without error, inerrant word of God. So yes. That he died on the cross for our sins. I turn and look, just because the representation is here. He died on the cross for our sins. Pay for sins that you and I could not pay for and restore us to God. So yes, what else do we believe? Helen?
Trinity.
We believe in the Trinity. Holy Father, Son, yes. And Holy Spirit, yes. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, that he's coming again.
Teachings and blessings of the Holy Spirit.
Tom, what do you mean? I know there's a lot. Just give us a little bit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit sustains us in this life that we live. Yeah. What else? You said blessings. So what else? Anybody else? Christ's authority, God's authority, the authority of his word, spirit. Yes, David again.
Communion.
Believe in communion. We believe in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, but knowing that that is a sign that the baptism of the Spirit is not about tongues, the baptism of the Spirit is about power. Okay. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit uses an individual to bring about a gift of, the gifts are listed, that benefit other people who are present. Okay? Yes. And you can, by the way, if you're not familiar with those, you can read those in 1 Corinthians, yes. We believe in forgiveness of sins and the forgiveness for each other. Very good. Anything else? What's that? We believe that there's a personal relationship that we can have with God. Yeah, he's not just out there somewhere and we kind of, well, hope this works. Right, we can know. Yeah. Anybody? The blood of Christ washes away our sin. It takes the blood for the forgiveness of sin. We find that in Scripture from the very beginning. So yes. Jimmy.
You believe that God is in control.
Yeah. We believe that God reigns. He is faithful. Ross. Yes. Divine healing, and that through the sacrifice that he made on the cross, he purchased many things for us in redemption, being saved, the forgiveness of sin, but also things that impact us in this life through his death on the cross, one of them being divine healing. Yes. Rhonda. Yeah, we do. We believe in prayer, and his word instructs us to. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah, we believe that God takes care of us. That's right. Jesus is the Christ. He is Lord. He's faithful. Doesn't leave us or forsake us. Jesus. He's the only way to the Father in heaven. That's right. Is through faith in him. That's what the Scripture teaches. There are not many ways.
I know that that goes against the tolerance and the teaching of our world and society and all of that. And I'll tell you, if there were many ways, then we would proclaim that. But there is not. Jesus said it himself, John chapter 14, that he goes to prepare a place for us. And he goes and begins to speak, and he says, I wouldn't tell you this if it weren't so, because no one can go to the Father in heaven except through him, through faith in him. Janine. Yes, not only the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we can be transformed, changed through faith in Christ, that His Holy Spirit works in us and bears the character and virtue fruits of who God is in our life. Think about that, because we were born into sin. That is an absolute miracle that we can be saved and then become better, become holy. Right? Yes. We believe in the fellowship of the saints. Relationships with one another. Power of prayer. I know you do. Yes. Healing. We believe in the rapture. Scripture talks about. What? We believe in water baptism. Yeah. A sign that says, a person says, you know what? I have given my life to Christ. I want to make a public profession. I want to go through this physical expression of an inward faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are water baptized. Yes? We believe in the dying to self. You know, did you have to bring that up? I'm kidding you. Yeah. Sam? We believe in life after death. Eternity. Christ made the way. He is the way. Yes. Can we believe in the continuing to teach His word and make disciples? Amen. Somebody had their hand up here. Audra.
We believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
We believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John. We believe that He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Dennis. Yeah, freedom, that through faith in Him, Him shedding His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, we put faith in Him, we follow after Him, that there is a freedom that comes to become the person that we ought to become, which is freedom from ourselves in this world. Yeah, we can go on. The list goes on. I want to encourage you we have some pamphlets up by the front door that come from, our national office of our fellowship. And one is called Our 16 Doctrines. Then there's some out there that are individually specifically about some of these doctrines and some other biblical issues of life and scriptural foundation. I want to encourage you, this one that's called Our 16 Doctrines, it gives you just little snippets, okay? They are not a whole dissertation on that doctrine, and it's something that might be helpful or interesting to some of you, why we believe what we believe, and it's just a little bit of a taste. But in here, it talks about the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to just touch on this a little bit. This belief in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we know that salvation comes through Christ. We know that Jesus, through the Scripture that's recorded, tells us that He is going and He is sending the Holy Spirit. He tells His disciples to wait in Jerusalem. We know that the Holy Spirit was active back in creation. You find that in His Word. In the Old Testament, it talks a lot about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming upon people, the Holy Spirit using people, the Holy Spirit empowering people, Old Testament and in the New. We focus a lot about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, who is God, was present, you know, prior to creation, eternity past, present, eternity forever. And so I want to mention this morning, because, you know, it's easy for us to look at a doctrine and say, this is what we believe, And the reason we believe it is because we find it here in the Scripture, and so we believe it. And some of the danger is if it stops there, and we only believe right, and we make that belief as if it is some ideology, if we just make it as some declaration, a plaque on the wall, and we don't live it, then it just becomes a statement. And the statement like that, according to Scripture and in Scripture, you know, His Word is God-breathed. It is there for our correction, encouragement, etc., for our lives. And the important thing is that it is for our life. It is not just so we believe right in our minds. It is that we believe right in our minds, and it affects the way that we now live. You are, this morning, in this church that's called New Life, and the fellowship that we are associated with is called the Assemblies of God. Now, you can go down the street or jump a state over or go to a different district, and their doctrines should be the same. But each of these churches have a little bit autonomous. They can have a little bit of a different feel to them. Some can have a very different style. The method might be a little different, but the doctrines that are proclaimed should be the same. And it is a Pentecostal fellowship, which means that there is a distinction about this fellowship that not necessarily all other denominations or fellowships believe. Some do, some don't. We believe, all of them believe in Pentecost, in the book of Acts, that day happened. Okay, but a Pentecostal church is one who not only believes that day happened, but the experience of that day and what happened that day in the way of God's Spirit coming upon people to empower people and use people for His glory, to bring about and be agents by the Holy Spirit's empowerment that His kingdom can come here on earth, like Jesus taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come here on earth. Let your will be done here as your will is done in heaven. And so coming to a place where we still believe that the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to still come upon people. That His Holy Spirit has been sent to live in a person, to empower a person, to have moments of revelation, moments of empowerment, moments where their life breaks some limitation that they would naturally have. Look at the person next to you and say, "You have limitations." In our humanity, we have limitations. If you think you are here and you don't have limitations in your humanity, the people who know you best could sit you down and do a little bit of a, what do they call that? Attitude adjustment. Well, yeah, it's a intervention. That's the word. They sit down and they begin to tell you how much they love you, but here's your limitations, here's your struggle. For example, some of your family this morning could say, yes, you have a limitation, because this morning you were very impatient. Your patience ran out. They ran to their limit. Right? Any virtue or character trait you want to use. We know our limits. Now, through the Holy Spirit of God, we can be empowered to go beyond our natural resource and our natural limitations and who we are as a person. It is Him being revealed in the person who believes upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. in the Old Testament, prior to the Messiah coming, the only begotten Son of God, is the Holy Spirit, God would use and reveal himself to those who believed in God, had relationship with God. And from time to time, he would empower someone to do something, to go beyond who they were and their natural tendency. Listen, you're aware of your natural tendency. Something happens, and sometimes our natural tendency is the first thing we think of, and we're just about to let that thinking become an action or a word, and we go, oh, put the brakes on. That is not how I am supposed to respond or act, think, or conduct myself as one who is proclaiming to believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And so we die to ourselves, and we allow his resource to empower us and reveal himself through us and to us. That there is this transformation. Listen, there are many of you in this room who have struggled with a previous habit that was detrimental in your life. Some habit. And you needed deliverance from it. I mean, by the way, those of you who don't feel like you need to be delivered from that stuff, we've all experienced deliverance. From ourself, from the way we were, as we follow Christ and allow him to come into our life. We all need deliverance. So don't think here for a minute because you didn't have to be delivered from, I don't know, substance abuse or alcohol, that you were somehow, it was easier to redeem you. Sin is sin, and it cost his blood. So don't think that Jesus came to save you, the righteous. Right? That's where he wants you to turn to the person next to you again and say, I guess you a sinner. But we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, we stated some things we believe this morning. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you know, we want to make sure we believe right. But do we still not only believe right, but have the thirst and hunger for the Holy Spirit to come upon us? To live in us? To change us? To strive with us? Contend with us? To bring about God's perfect work and character in our life? Ezekiel chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give you some references, and I'm just going to give a little snippet. It's not about a teaching on each of these passages. It's just places, and these are not all the places in the Old Testament New, where the Holy Spirit either came upon a person, or the presence of God came upon them, the Holy Spirit carried them somewhere, or took them out by the Spirit, or physically moved them, or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit of the Lord was upon them to empower them. Ezekiel chapter 11, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, came upon Ezekiel and he prophesied. In other words, he spoke the direct words of God that were revealed to him when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Amasai in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the Spirit took control of Amasai, and Amasai came to King David and pledged his allegiance, so to speak, and that David took him on so that he could go and fight the battles with David. And Amasai came a leader at one point of even 30 men that we read about. Judges chapter 3. Othniel, it says the Spirit came upon him so that he could go to war. Let me ask you this. Do you have any battles in your life? Do you have any wars in your life that you just don't know what to do? Or that you'd like to shy away from? Or that you just kind of wish would go away? some kind of battle and war that is beyond your natural resource and power, whether you're fighting a habit, whether you're fighting against some problematic thing in life that comes, and maybe it comes to many of us. You're just going to fight it on your own? Is it a war, a battle that takes you beyond your limits? And if we can only go so far with it, and we've done everything we feel we can, and we're worn out, then what is going to be your answer? Are you beaten? Do you surrender? Do you give in? Do you throw in the towel? Or what would be a person that comes to faith in Christ, man, woman, or child, doesn't matter where we're from or what we've done, we put faith in Him, our past is washed away, the things of our past do not have to repeat themselves. Through the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can be empowered to go to war. And He shall make us more than conquerors. Paul writes, you are more than conquerors through Him who loves you. Now we have to make this right, because you turn to the person next to you and said, are you a sinner? Now you can say, if you believe in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Say it. If you believe in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Mary and Justin, are you telling each other in the sound booth? Okay. I don't want anybody to get away from being told that faith in Christ, in Christ, you are more than a conqueror than these things that we face in this life. More than a conqueror than the things that haunt you. Places in this throughout the Scripture in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 6, Gideon, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Spirit came upon him, and he blew a trumpet. Now that doesn't sound like much, because in the flesh you could probably just blow on a trumpet. But you have to remember who Gideon was. I mean, he was the guy that went into hiding, and he was worried, and, you know, he's covering up the wine press, and he's trying to just withdraw and kind of not be noticed, and all of this, and he felt like he was the least person in his family, and that his family was the least person in the tribe, and that the tribe that his family belonged to was the least powerful tribe in the tribes of Israel. In other words, he was the least of the least of the least. And yet the Holy Spirit comes upon him at some point and he blows a trumpet. Why? Because the trumpet sound was the calling and the summoning of warriors to go to battle. And leads. The Holy Spirit came upon him and changed him from how he saw himself. And the person he told that he's been told that he was changed by the Spirit of God. Maybe you feel like you're the least of the least of the least. Or you come in here this morning and say, I just can't get close to God because I failed last night, or I failed yesterday, or I failed this morning. Then you get close to Him and put faith in Him and let His blood cleanse you and I from all our yesterdays, all our previous moments, that His Spirit would come upon us and empower us and change us. Strengthen us in the moment we need it. Do you still believe that the Spirit comes upon people? Look at Samson in Judges. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit came upon Samson that he killed a lion. Spirit came upon Samson, he killed 10 men. Spirit came upon Samson, and with the jawbone of a donkey, mule, or ass, depending on what translation you read, he took that jawbone and killed 1,000 men. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him that he could do this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him that the ropes and chains that tied him became like charred cloth. Holy Spirit of God came upon David. And the Spirit of the Lord withdrew from Saul. The Holy Spirit remained upon David from that day forward. Zechariah back in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah that he stood up in front of all the people and prophesied the words of God that said, why is it that you disobey God? You will not prosper. Empowered him to stand up in front of his own people and give an alarming message. We know Acts chapter 2, many of us, the Holy Spirit outpoured and comes upon the disciples and those who gathered and prayed, who remained there in Jerusalem like Jesus instructed them to get together, remain in Jerusalem, and wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on you. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they began to speak in another tongue. And they, as it goes on in Acts, you will see where in Acts 19, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, comes and meets with about 12 men and lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and they begin to prophesy. They begin to proclaim the words of God. Empowered. Peter, who is Jewish, is empowered to go beyond his culture and go beyond his prejudice. And he moves and steps into a Gentile home, which by Jewish law would make him unclean. But he goes in, led by the Spirit of God, who revealed this to him, that he should go and not call it unclean, that which God has called clean. And goes against his culture, his tradition. He goes against what he's been taught, because God empowered him to step into a Gentile home, and as he began to proclaim Jesus and proclaim God's word, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon those who were in the house. He will pour out his Spirit on all people. Turn to the person next to you again and say, that means you. That means you. No, you can call yourself unholy. You can know your history. You can come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons. But I will tell you that through Jesus Christ and the blood that he has shed and through faith in him, I want you to know that you are not exempt. And you are not so filthy and you are not so bad that God's Holy Spirit cannot come upon you. None of us deserve it. I don't care if we have a fairly clean history. We don't deserve it. He will pour out his Spirit upon all people, men and women, young and old, Jew and Gentile, which is basically everyone else. Okay? Doesn't matter your history. Doesn't matter your economic status. God is not limited by those things. You can look back in the Old Testament at Elijah. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he physically runs faster than horses. We're not talking about the first step in the starting line. We're talking about that he outruns horses. I haven't seen all of you run. And don't take this as harsh or anything. But sizing you up, you don't stand a chance. Now, some of you are quicker than others. Some of you could run further than others. Though you started out behind, you may finish first, depending on how long the race is. You don't stand a chance. But you can be moved beyond your limitation when the Spirit of God comes upon you to empower you to do something that you cannot do on your own. It's like those who come up here sometimes and they will pray with people who have a need. And you will come out of your seat and the deacons or wives or pastor or staff or friend or family who's ever praying with you begins to pray to God on your behalf. And there are times that you experience healing. There are times that you are overwhelmed in your soul because God's revealing himself, and you know that through your confession of sin, you have this assurance that he's forgiven you. For some, you've had a habit you've struggled with. You want to quit. You want to stop. You want life to change. And you receive prayer and you look to the Lord and you receive it and you walk out and you no longer have that habit. Did it come from the person who prayed with you? They just prayed with you. They have limitation themselves. But through faith in Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit being revealed in and through a person and to you, that this can happen. That you can go beyond your limitation. We are in a Pentecostal church. We declared things that we believe. A full gospel church. And we want to be so careful to believe the right thing. And yet, when is the last time that you have backed up what you believe with a prayer that says, Lord, would you put your Holy Spirit on me? Would you come upon me? Would you put your hand on me? Would you empower me to go beyond my limitation? Would you reveal yourself to me? Would your presence come upon me so strongly that you would use me to prophesy and tell people what you are thinking? What you have to say? Or is it we just want to believe right so we feel like we're in the right club? Or have we backed up what we are so careful to try to believe right with a prayer that says, come upon me. Come upon me like a prophet. Pour out your spirit upon me to empower me to do something, to stand my ground. When I know I am doing what's right in you, help me in the moment, Holy Spirit, come upon me and change my character, that in the moment of temptation, I run. Because you are supposed to run from temptation. Lord, give me the power and the faith to believe upon Jesus Christ, to stand my ground and resist the devil. That's what the Word says. When it comes to Him, you stand your ground. When it comes to temptation, we're supposed to run. That doesn't mean weakness. It means wisdom. Do we back up what we believe in our doctrine, our theology, with the attitude and the heartfelt life every day of saying, God, will your Holy Spirit come upon me? Holy Spirit, come upon me. Holy Spirit, overtake me. Or do we just want to believe right and feel like we're in the club? Holy Spirit, come upon me, but don't let me do anything like crazy. Crazy in your mind? Crazy in your culture? Crazy in your club? You worried about your reputation? Or are you willing to die to yourself? Lord, I want to be saved and still be the person I, just am comfortable being. Your flesh, your mind, will never be comfortable with what God wants and desires for you because our flesh will always fight it. But when we give over to Him, our mind is renewed, it's transformed, and now what He wants to do, we desire. Imagine that. When we were trapped in our sin, to desire what God wants, we think, what? But we are changed, transformed through faith in Him. The walking out and the living of our faith and Him walking with us in this life. Not just a God out there somewhere, someone who is personal and His Holy Spirit can still come upon people. Numbers 11. The cloud came down and the Spirit was upon Moses. There are so many examples throughout the Scripture of God's hand being on someone, His Spirit coming upon them, them carried out by the Spirit, them transported by the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Spirit. It is no wonder God tells us in the Old Testament, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit. It is by His Spirit. Genesis, worship team, you can come, by the way. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. God says, I will not. Now listen to this. Don't worry about the worship team moving. Don't look at them. In Genesis chapter 6, God speaking, he says, my spirit will not contend with men forever. For they are mortal. My spirit will not contend. Now, I want to explain this. This is like we as a person want to live our own life and live our own way and have our own thinking about things. And the Holy Spirit is, because God loves us, is like next to us saying, hey, no. Don't live unto yourself. Come to Christ. Come to the love of God. Live a different life. I will empower you. I will help you. And he continues to contend with us. Okay? He is fighting with our will. Till our will becomes like his for him and for our life. He contends. And here he says, I will not contend with men forever. In other words, in this life we now live, our days are numbered. They're numbered. I don't know what the number is for me. I'm hoping old while feeling young and looking like I do now. Or better. I'd like to reverse the thing a little bit if I could. Listen, I'd like to keep my hair as long as I live. And if that is too short of a time, then I'm happy to live bald. And not by choice. Just, you know, extend my days. But our days are numbered. He will not contend with me always, because one day breath will leave this body. So before that day comes, will I give over to faith in Christ to be a follower of his? So when my breath leaves my body, the breath of my spirit will be with him. An eternity with him. But until that day, the breath that I have in this body that keeps my spirit in this body on earth, just like yours, will I not just believe right, but pray, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Listen, I'm so grateful for all of you who pray for the pastor of this church. If you're visiting, that's, by the way, that's me. Pray for the pastor. I love how you pray for the pastor. I hear some of you, and I know privately many of you intercede for me daily for different things in my life. And I know, and I've heard some of the prayers, Lord, Holy Spirit, just come upon pastor. Holy Spirit, just come upon. Holy Spirit, use him. Holy Spirit, you know, like, he's the guy out there. Go use him. I'm so happy to have your Holy Spirit come on him. And keep praying that for me, by the way. But do God yourself a favor. Don't exclude you from the same prayer. Oh, I love when pastor gets fired up. I love when the anointing's on him. I love when he kind of rushes down from the stairs or walks up the aisle and groans and shouts and throws his prayer. Oh, if he just do that more. Oh, Holy Spirit, get on him. Well, you sit there. The Holy Spirit of God is still interested in coming upon people. That would be you. It would be me. To empower you. To go beyond your limitations, your boundaries. That you would have victory over cyclical, habitual things that you wrestle and struggle with. In the moment where you don't know what to do, His Holy Spirit is interested in coming upon you and giving you wisdom, giving you the words, giving you the restraint. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon people to keep them shut up. Lord, do that more. Right? Listen, His Holy Spirit is interested to come upon you, to use you, to transform you, to reveal Himself to you, and to reveal Himself through you to other people. They wouldn't be just out there assuming what God is like because they had some bad experience with some church or somebody who called themselves Christian. And now use it to stay away. May the Holy Spirit be upon you outside of this room too. So they would be drawn by the Spirit who came upon you and is manifesting in you and moving through you to touch their lives. That they would be drawn and healed from the experience they had to the revelation of who Jesus is. The person of Jesus and who He really is. Well, I'd like to pray the Holy Spirit come upon me, but I'd like to know what He's going to do first if He answers my prayer. I'm all for God coming upon me if it just allows me to still sit here like I am. I'd like the Holy Spirit to come upon me, but I really am not interested in having Him overtake me. And yet, we read the Scripture where it talks about that, and we say, yay and amen, and that's what we believe! And now it becomes this ideology, this code, but no practice. No experience. I want the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, we believe in that we didn't mention this morning. I mean, there's a lot of things we didn't mention. To convict us of righteousness, convict us of sin, convict us of what's right and wrong, convict us and challenge us and contend with us where we are stuck in our way or we've slipped into some pattern and yet we profess Christ or we believe in Him, but we are stuck in this, oh, I'm doing okay. Boy, I've come a long way and now this is good enough. It is not good enough to just believe right in our ideology and in our thinking or our theology. That is not good enough. We are supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We emphasize so much on the knowledge, but we don't want a taste of the grace that empowers us, gives us favor, and brings us to the threshold of where we take steps of faith to be transformed and changed. I'm glad you believe right. Grateful. We're supposed to watch our doctrine closely. And we believe that the Holy Spirit still comes upon people. But when are we going to step up and say, come upon me? Come upon me! Put your hand on me! I want to know what it is to have your hand on me. I want to know what it is to have your Holy Spirit come on me. I want to know what it is to have your Holy Spirit pulsing in me, the heartbeat of God, to use me beyond my limits, to change my thinking, to let go of what I feel is so insulating and safe in my life, for you to take me beyond not only my limitations, but some of the limitations I have built to hedge me in so I can feel safe and secure from all alarm. When will you back up what you believe by beginning to ask God to come upon you? However He wants, I do not get to choose how God comes upon me and what he wants to do. Those decisions lie with him. My decision is that, will I yield to him? Will I surrender to him? In surrendering to him, it now opens the door to no limitations, for nothing is impossible with God.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.